And I would like to ask you again to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would like, in your Bibles. It is found on page 1244. And while you're turning to there, I want to thank all of you for really the good week that we had. We had a lot of fellowship, a lot of fun as a church. Of course, many of you are here for our one night. We want to thank Leanne and the others that organized that. And many of you were involved in some ways with helping with the young people that were here from the Theological Foundations for Youth. Either you hosted them for meals or helped with transportation or joined them in activities. They went down to the RP home, down to Light of Life Mission, had sessions with Pastor Blocky and Oscar Gonzalez and myself. So I also want to just thank all of the TFY people here. If you're unfamiliar with that, it's a program really started a number of years ago at our seminary where students from across the country, people that are entering their senior year of high school, come for to learn about more about God. And then they spend a week in the local churches, and then they go back to the seminary for another week. So we want to thank Jameson and Stephen and Ella and Addison and Agnes for your being here with us. You've been a delight to us, and we thank you that we could spend this week with you. It's been a blessing for us. I'm not crying because of them, so just in case you're wondering. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. My wife texted our children about the death of their aunt. And of course, one of my daughters texted me and said that she's going to be praying for me in my preaching. And as I've gotten older, I've noticed that I've written my notes a little bit larger over time. Unfortunately, I've never written them with tears in my eyes. So I said to her, thank you. This will be interesting. And I trust that it'll be that the Lord will use his word to strengthen us. I mentioned the young lad that said when he wanted that what he wanted to do when he wanted to grow up is that he wanted to be kind. And that's probably a pretty noble thing to say. If it were not for the kindness of a man named Conrad and Ursula Tata, humanly speaking, your life would be very different. You would not be enjoying the life that you enjoy now. Many years ago, there was a young man that was sent to a cloister school. At the time, these cloister schools were places where the poverty people would go and hopefully get an education. The schools, by and large, were not so much known for their education as they were for the strictness of their discipline and the meanness with which the teachers treated the students in many ways. The students had to pay for their way to the college by doing odd jobs in the community where the school was located, or in many cases they would have to go out and beg for food. And sometimes if they came back with no food, they would be, disciplined by the teachers. There was a young lad with a friend that were out, and they would go and try to sing. And they would approach a door, and they would sing, and hopefully that people would be kind and let them in. Unfortunately, they had had no success that day. People were just cruel to them. And the young man of whom I'm speaking wanted to, by his testimony, to just go to sleep and sleep the sleep of death. But his friend said, well, let's go to one more door. And so they knocked on the door they sang at the door. They said a little phrase from the scriptures. Foxes to their holes have gone, every bird to its nest, but I have wandered here alone, for me there is no rest. As they were singing that song at the door, Ursula Kata opened the door and welcomed the boys in and gave them food. the young man was crying as he was eating his food, but eventually Ursula Kata asked him his name and where they were from, and she found out that the young man was a relative of her husband's. And so they took him in and cared for him, provided him an education. I said that you probably would not be living the life that you're living, humanly speaking, if it had not been for the kindness of Conrad and Ursula Kata. Because you see, that young man that they took in was Martin Luther. They gave him an education, paid for his education. Basically, as you know, Martin Luther found a Bible and found in it the words that started the Protestant Reformation. We're going through the character qualities of love. You all know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that love is patient, love is kind. So this morning we're going to be looking at kindness. And then Martin's going to pick up with the next character quality this evening. So this morning our topic is kindness. The Apostle Paul gives several component parts of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. And our verse says here, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. A great challenge is there for us. Patience we looked at last week, and you'll remember that patience we defined as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. John MacArthur defines kindness this way: diligently seeking ways to be actively useful in another person's life. Did you catch that word? Diligently? To be useful in another person's life. As I read and pondered MacArthur's definition, I was reminded of a time, I've told you the story of a few months ago, I was listening to a Christian book, and the author of the book was often talked about that his goal was to add value to people's lives. And as I first heard about that, I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting thing. Then I began thinking, well, that's kind of nebulous. What's it mean to add value to somebody's life? And then I began to realize, well, it probably isn't even a biblical idea necessarily. Nothing wrong with that, but the idea of adding value to somebody's life probably isn't biblical. And I remember talking to you about this before, and I think the thing that Paul labored for is a good thing for us as we think of this idea of diligently seeking ways to be actively useful in another person's life. Remember that Paul labored for people's joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul said, I'm a laborer for your joy. And then in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is concerned that he's not sure if he's going to live or die, but he comes to the conclusion that he's going to live. And as he lived on, he wanted to live on for their progress and joy in the faith. So, my friends, I want to lay this simple idea before you that an aspect of kindness that you can show is how can you labor for somebody else's joy? How can you labor for somebody else's joy? So this morning we're going to pursue the theme that as Christians we're to demonstrate kindness because God has been kind to us. God has been kind to us. So in order to demonstrate this kindness, there's a few things that we have to know. First of all, we have to know the source of kindness, and you know what that is. It's our Lord God, the triune God. Then we have to also recognize the aspects of kindness. And the third thing we'll look at is that we need to understand and recognize the practice of kindness. So the first thing that we need to know is the source of kindness. because my morning got a little disrupted, there is a psalm that we sing, but I didn't have time to find it. And it says, "For to you, God has been kind." And of course, the source of kindness is the triune God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 145, verse 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds." The Lord is kind in all of his deeds. So if you have professed faith in Jesus, you've experienced the kindness of God. But we have to recognize that God's kindness is really to the whole world, in the sense that he is patient. He does not bring his judgment, but he's patient towards us. And he allows us to enjoy the sunshine and the rain and the trees and the rivers and the forests and the mountains and the hills. We call that God's common grace. It's grace that he gives to all of his creation. But the kindness of God is a thing that we need to ponder. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Or do you think kindly of the riches of his kindness and grace, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" You have to realize that it's the kindness of God that has brought you to the point where you can profess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. If it were not for the kindness of God, you would not be acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Because it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. I want to ask you to turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 3. Titus, chapter 3. And perhaps somebody will give us a page number when you get it. I'd like you to see this with me. Titus chapter 3.
1272.
Thank you. Page 1272 of the Bibles that we've given you in the seats there. Page 1272. I want to read you, beginning in verse 1, page 1272, Titus chapter 3. Titus has given instructions to the church. And he says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people." So Paul is basically telling the people of the church there to be kind to one another, to show perfect courtesy, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle. And then Paul goes on and gives us a picture of what we were before Jesus entered your life. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." So that's his description of who we were. Malice, envy, hated, being hated and hating others. But then look at verse 4. "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now notice what Paul is doing. He's wanting the people to be kind to each other. And he then reminds us of what we were before you came to faith in Jesus. That you were filled with malice and envy. You were hated by people and you were hating other people. But when the kindness of God appeared, he saved us. So my friends, when we are kind to one another, when we're diligently seeking ways to be actively involved for the good, for the joy of other people, we are reflecting Jesus Christ. He saw us as people that were not kind, people that were not loving, people that were filled with malice and envy and hatred. And yet, He sent Jesus. So when we reflect kindness, we're demonstrating an aspect of the character of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then a little bit later in the same chapter, verse 32 tells us that God has given us all that we need. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? You see, Jesus has been kind to us and continues to be kind to us. So I want to ask you this question this morning. How would you rate your kindness? Are you diligently seeking to bring joy to other people? Or is your life filled with bitterness and envy, wrath? If you have your Bibles open, just look at verse 31 of Ephesians chapter 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all, along with all malice. These things are to be put away from us. They're not to be part of our lives. My friends, you have to understand that you do not have to live in bitterness. You do not have to live in wrath. You do not have to live in anger. Some people say, I can't control my anger. Yes, you can. We'd be happy to talk to you about it afterwards. You don't have to live in those things. But you can live in kindness towards one another. So we have to recognize the source of our kindness, and that is Triune God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also need to recognize the aspects of kindness. It tells us here, be kind to one another. The verb is in the present tense. It's a command in the present tense. So in the Greek language, it carries the idea of something continual. Now, it's not the common word for be. This is the word that could easily be translated become. Become kind. So it's an interesting picture that's to be what is to be part of my life. That I'm to be kind. I'm to become a kind person. And so I want to ask you, my friends, how well are you doing at reflecting this picture of Jesus Christ, of his kindness? In 2 Peter chapter 1, we have that whole list of things that we're in which we're to be growing, that we're to add to our faith, moral excellence, moral purity, all those sorts of things. At the end, it comes down to, it says we're to add brotherly kindness and then Christian love. So the Bible is exhorting you to be growing in your Christ-likeness, and that's going to include brotherly love. How do you treat your brothers? That's how God wants you to treat the people you come in contact with, certainly Christians and other people. Colossians 3:12 says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and blameless, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Look at those words that we're to put on. This is the heart of compassion. Let me read you the list again. The heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. That's how we demonstrate kindness to each other. So you are to become kind. You are to be a kind person. It's a continual activity. The second thing that you see there in verse 32 is that we're to be tender-hearted. Literally in the Greek, the word means good bowels. Now, as we get older, we probably learn to appreciate that term. But in ancient cultures, they didn't see the heart as the seat of emotions. They considered the bowels as the seat of emotions. So literally the word is become good bowels, become good-hearted, if you would. Kind-hearted. Second Peter, the word is only used one other time in the Bible. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, that we're to be kind-hearted. We're to be kind-hearted. We're to have a heart that's tender, that easily is molded that can easily break, that can easily show kindness to other people. The opposite, of course, would be hard-hearted. And God doesn't want you to be hard-hearted. You see, in Jesus Christ, you've been given a new heart so that we can indeed, among other things, show kindness to other people. And then it tells us that we're to forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. So there's kindness, there's tenderheartedness, there's forgiveness. You remember in John chapter 17, the apostles come to Jesus and they ask him about forgiveness. And pay attention to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And you remember the apostles' response. Lord, increase our faith. I think what the apostles were saying is that forgiveness is sometimes hard. I don't have the faith to forgive seven times a day. But then Jesus goes on to give this parable, and it's about the parable of the slave out in the fields. And when he comes in, his master doesn't say to him, well, sit down and let me serve you your meal. No, the slave coming in from the field has to serve his master, serve his master's meal. And then when he's done that, he's able to go and get food for himself. And Jesus has these slaves say, we are unprofitable servants, for we've only done what we ought to have done. And what Jesus is saying about this idea of forgiveness is that it's what you ought to do. Because you have been forgiven by Christ, we are enabled and empowered and called to forgive others. Now, forgiveness is a decision of the will. It's not some emotional thing that I make. And some people say, oh, I can't forgive. Well, yes, you can. You may choose not to forgive. But forgiveness is a decision of the will. And my friends, I want you to know that forgiveness is important. Now, the word used here in Ephesians chapter 4 is not the usual word used for forgiveness. There's a couple of different words used for forgiveness. This word is attached to the Greek word for grace, charis. And so really the word carries the idea of do something pleasant or agreeable to somebody else. Show them grace. We're to forgive. My friends, if there's somebody that you feel you can't forgive, again, we'd be happy to talk to you about that. But you need to know that forgiveness is a decision that you make. And the second thing you need to know is that there is great freedom in being forgiven and in being forgiving. There's freedom in both. So, my friends, show kindness. Be tender-hearted. Forgive, just as Christ forgave you. And the third thing I wanted to look at very briefly is just some practices of kindness. We need to be kind. We need to recognize and understand the practice of kindness. Let me just give you a few ways to think about this. We can show kindness by our words. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, it's a chapter of the godly woman, as you know, and it says that the teaching of kindness is on her lips. Doesn't necessarily only apply to women, of course, but it's used of women there in Proverbs 31. The teaching of kindness is on her lips. You kind of get the idea that it's a continual thing. Is that true of you? Is the teaching of kindness on your lips? If you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 4, just look back a couple of verses. I got to get back there. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 29, it says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. we can give words of edification, words that build people up, words that give joy to people. Now remember, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. So again, my friends, I want you to fill your heart with the good things of God. Think of the many blessings that you have in Jesus, because your mouth will speak from what fills your heart. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, it says that, "For the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word." You probably have friends, neighbors, classmates that are weary. And you can sustain them with a word. So we can use our words to sustain people. We need time. Sometimes people just need to have a friend come alongside and listen to them. We've already talked about forgiveness. Another way that you can show kindness to people is in your generosity. Dave's going to take us through the topic of generosity here in a little while. The idea of being generous with who you are, with your time, with your talents, with your treasures. We can pray for one another. It's a great way to labor for kindness and joy in somebody else. You can care for them. You can share with them. I had a couple of friends in high school. They were Christians. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know what it meant. But their name was Carol and Cheryl. They were good friends. They called themselves Care and Share, the Care and Share team. And that's what we need to be, the caring and sharing team with people. So as we close, who is the person that's near you, that you're in touch with, that needs kindness? Who is the person that needs to have joy? Who is the person that you can bring that to them this week? And because you see, when we do that, we are simply reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. When the kindness of God appeared, He saved us. Our Lord Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. I think we could change that verse a little bit. Not that I'm trying to write new scripture, but I think you could say the same thing and still get the essence of who Jesus is. And say it this way: Jesus came not to be shown kindness, but to show kindness. My friends, how would you rate your kindness? And who are the people around you that need kindness? You see, love is patient. Love is kind. 1 John 4 tells us that God is love. And because kindness is an aspect of love, then we could say God is kind. And 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because He first loved us." We could easily say, you are kind because God was first kind towards you. Let's rejoice in the kindness made known to us through Jesus Christ. And let us purpose to show that kindness to one another and to the watching world. Love is patient. Love is kind. Therefore, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank You that we have this opportunity to worship You, and we thank You that You have been kind to us. And we rejoice in that. And Lord, help us to show kindness to others, because as we show kindness to others, we are reflecting the character, Your character, the character of our Lord Jesus. So God, help us to grow closer to Him. We pray that more and more His rule in our lives will become more and more evident, that we would be reflecting Your kindness to those around us. We thank You. We ask this in His precious name. Amen.